I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte here with you. Talks to BYU basketball, and the Cougars are in action tonight against Portland. And the Pilots are, Portland.
What it's else a great is? Name, the Portland Pilots. Yeah, I like that.
They're pushing P. You know, they're
double P.
The double P, pushing P. But, you know, this BYU team, Matt, 16-4. I got to say, we were talking to producer Dallin before the show, and with what BYU has had to overcome, it's pretty remarkable that they're 16-4.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've lost Gavin Baxter for the year, which was cool to see Gavin, by the way, at the game on Thursday night. I was happy to see that.
Think he comes back at all? I mean, he could.
It's tough. I mean, I would think he...
How long can you do it, though?
What I'm saying. Like, what, three season-ending injuries? At what point do you say, you know what, I got my degree, I'm getting married, I'm moving on? Hey, I would love to see him back. Just the story itself, it'd be great.
I think the thing that we can't appreciate, though, because we didn't play college sports, is we can't appreciate the blood, sweat, and tears and dreams of a lifetime being put on the shelf.
Yeah.
So... It'd be hard to leave that on the table knowing that it could still be there because he has a good year. I mean, he's never played in the NBA, but you could go play 10 years overseas.
I think the toughest thing, honestly, is probably the school part. You want to grind and be – I mean, BYU is no joke. Like, it's tough. Like
We overlooked that so much with BYU.
We do. I mean, Fusini Traore gets a 4.0. It's like, that's remarkable. I mean, you know, it really is. And Atiki Aliatiki gets a 3.3. And you're thinking, that is incredible. Those guys are navigating
the barrier.
Language barrier, first year, and they're getting those great GPAs, and they're making an impact on the court. That's remarkable stuff. And I think that to me, if it was solely come back and play hoops again, I think he probably comes back. But then you factor in navigating being a student, being a husband, and then being a high-level D1 athlete at a competitive program that it's not easy. Like Mark Pope, he is a fun-loving guy. Like he gives some great quips. But, like, he's hard.
But
you're going to work, NIL, man.
Factor into this, too, though.
That's true. You can make some extra cash, and being a BYU athlete, there's definitely more opportunities for that. But with all that said, I think that BYU being at 16-4 without Gavin Baxter, without Richard Harward, and honestly, in many games, without the offensive presence of Caleb Lohner.
All but two, basically.
It's amazing what BYU's doing right now.
It's phenomenal. We heard this after the win against San Diego, but we stay late at the Marriott Center, and if you haven't subscribed to our podcast and if you haven't followed KSL Sports on Twitter, you should. I think that we go above and beyond BYU fans to give you guys great content. We do some video recaps, but you get to capture a bunch of interesting tidbits and nuggets just being there late and seeing things, and it's just really impressed me how BYU's been able to develop a Fush Traore and a Tiki Alatiki. And the point I'm getting to, Mitch, is you hear Mark Pope say in the postgame that they saved our season. And, you know, you have a long drive home after. Mine's not as long, but there's not like – you just get – it's fun to be able to hear these things and you just get to think about it. And it's like, wow. They saved – because they really did. They saved the season. And they're putting together – some of the best – when I say best freshman season, I'm really talking about Fus because Atiki's not playing enough to have a great freshman season. But Fus is putting together one of the great freshman seasons in BYU basketball history, and he's got a chance to be just one of the beloved players that ever comes through BYU, the university, because his story is so unique. How he finds his way to BYU, he practices the Muslim faith, and for him to embrace BYU for all that it is, because it gets criticized a lot for being a faith-based institution, and you have someone who's not of the faith, who loves what BYU stands for and is thriving at the university, and he's so good at basketball too. It's incredible what they've been able to do, in large part because of how Foos has developed.
Foos has been outstanding, and I remember at that media day back in October when we watched him in practice, the first time we got eyes on him, and it was like, wow, this guy's going to be really good. But you just didn't know when. You probably thought probably the back end of his first season. But from the moment he stepped on the court in night one against Cleveland State, he's been impactful. And ever since he took on the starting role in that Hawaii trip against Liberty, he's done a great job in the five spot. And I just think that Foos has been fantastic for BYU, and it was so needed to have him because, man, you think about what Alex Barcelo, what he envisioned coming back for a super senior year. If you don't have Foos rise up and emerge as a threat in the post,
it's over.
It's the season's done. Yeah. You're talking about NIT, and that's a wrap.
And what a bummer to have, in that scenario, have wasted an extra year of Alex Barcelo, one of the great BYU guards in the history of the program.
And BYU 16-4, and according to the metrics, they've played 17th toughest schedule to date.
Wow.
This season. So, I mean, we're talking BYU right now. Projections say an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Based on that metric alone, it should be higher. I mean, 16-4, only 4 losses. One of those losses is to the best team in the land.
It's the lack of quad one wins right now. Yeah. That's ultimately the problem. But
the signature wins are lacking, but hey, there's going to be opportunities. Like that Gonzaga game coming up in 2 weeks from today, if you can pull that off, maybe we're talking about BYU as a 6 seed.
That would be one of the great coaching jobs in the history of BYU hoops.
They probably got to win out for that to happen, but yeah. Hey, it's within reach.
We'll keep talking hoops on the other side. You can text us as well, 57500. Chime in on BYU basketball. Back after this.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.